Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It is already Friday, the 14th day of September, 2012, and we are going to be here for the next 3 hours. You've got a bomb threat here in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas, the largest university in the world, arguably, and there's also a bomb threat taking place at North Dakota campus. A Middle Eastern man, or someone with that voice, "Hello, this is Habib. I'm going to bomb you in 90 minutes. I have been dressed as mailman. There are bombs in the what do you call it, where you put the mail, the little boxes. I'm going to get you." And everyone runs screaming in fear. I got to the office and it was just like, the bombs. A few people were walking around excitedly, and that's fine. I understand. You know, the media is hyping it like it's the end of the world. And at first I'm like, well, maybe somebody had a, you know, test coming up today, because it is Friday and they were a little nervous. Some graduate student, you know, schizophrenic, wanting to become a psychologist or psychiatrist or something. But then I noticed the whole North Dakota thing, and this fits in with all the hysteria in the Middle East and this movie putting down Muhammad. So the Muslims go crazy if somebody puts down the Prophet Muhammad, their Prophet Muhammad, and burn everything down over in the Middle East, or have kill each other. And over here, though, if you have a bomb threat, we all run off the edge of a cliff and fear from it. I'll tell you, there's a real evacuation going on in Guatemala. A big volcano by a major city is erupting outside tourist center. They've ordered 33,000 people evacuated. The officials have, not the public servants, the officials. That's the new upper class worldwide, is the government bureaucrat class, where, hey, you may not be skilled in anything or be talented, but you can't have some authority over somebody. But that's the kind of thing you do want to evacuate from. But what do they say? The wicked flee when none pursue. The wicked flee when none pursue. Now, obviously, we're going to have reporters, because we're here in Austin. We've got Melissa Melton and John Bound down there shooting video and interviewing people. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk about the bomb threat, because the guy said, an hour ago, that in 90 minutes he was going to blow everything up. So we'll find out, I guess, here in the next 30 minutes if bombs are going to go off everywhere. I'll tell you what's going off, though. GMO corn, GMO soybeans that are sterilizing you and are linked to massive organ failure and cancer in all the mammal studies. They won't allow human studies. There is a new special report out right now dealing with the new wheat coming out that top scientists are saying could cause organ failure and other things. So all of that is going on. Also, drudgereport.com is a link to our report from last night about TSA gropers are now not just at the Paul Ryan events, but now at the Mitt Romney events. And I want to find out, because it doesn't explain, are they inserting themselves like the Secret Service? Did the Secret Service call them in? Or did Mitt Romney ask for them? Because let me tell you something. I've never been a one-issue person, but I hate the TSA and this takeover so much. And I understand it's the key of the takeover, the total federalization, globalization, that I would almost vote for somebody just if they'd not have the TSA try to grope my family and stuff. But their answer will be, don't worry, wear a tracker chip, which they're now coming out with, where you wear a bracelet or a taser thing. They're just taking over all of the infrastructure and travel. So it's a big issue. We're in tyranny. And so, yeah, Al-Qaeda threat. If you scroll up there to the top of Drudge, he's got it all up in red there about the Al-Qaeda threat now, you know, basically shutting everything down. If you'll go back to the top page there of Drudge, we'll show people that top headline there. And we've also got a lot of that. Al-Qaeda threat shuts down the University of Texas. We've got reporters reporting from there in a moment. Stay with us. We'll be back.
shot in cold blood, no chance to fight. The stage is set, now pay the price. An ego boost, don't think twice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Alex Jones, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. And again, thank you for joining us. There is so much to cover today. Obviously, the big headlines out there are Al-Qaeda threat shuts down University of Texas and also the University of North Dakota campuses. UT is probably a third of the city of Austin. It's the biggest campus and has the most students, roughly, they argue the point, of any campus in the world. We have our reporters, Melissa Melton and John Bound, on the ground down there. We're going to be going to them in a few minutes. I got to the office at about 10 a.m., and the news had just broken minutes earlier, all over the local news, as if the end of the world was occurring, because someone called up and said, I am going to put bombs in your mailboxes and get you prepared. I will kill you. I mean, basically, like that puppet that's on TV, the dead terrorist or whatever his name is, and the wicked flee when none pursue. You would think it's the end of the world. I mean, that's all anybody's talking about in Austin, is the fact that they said in 90 minutes after the call that the bombs are going to go off. So that's in about 20 minutes from now. 20 minutes from now, the University of Texas, according to this phone call, is going to have bombs go off. What do you want to bet no bombs go off? And if the feds are behind this, they might have a firecracker or something. I mean, this is just amazing to see the hysteria and how we can be manipulated. Hey, if somebody puts out a YouTube video, the corporate media hypes it, showing Muhammad, you know, ripping a woman apart with a horse or something, and the Middle East goes up in flames, and U.S. ambassadors get killed, and all the precious little al-Qaeda jihadis they've delivered into Libya and Syria turn on their globalist masters. I mean, this is ridiculous. So somebody talks about Muhammad, and some of the Muslims go crazy, and then here in America, you get a bomb threat. It isn't like this in other parts of the world, folks, where you just have this total culture of fear. I see cases all the time where, well, you see it in the news, where somebody, even in rural areas, will walk out with their rifle to stick it in their truck or their car to go to the shooting range or go hunting. And, the police are shutting down the part of the city and looking for a man with a gun. And then you'll hear the report. Yeah, I saw him. He was putting a rifle in his car. And, oh, my gosh. And, in fact, just a few weeks ago, they shut down part of UT because somebody on the edge of campus was seen putting a rifle in a car. Yeah, it's Texas. There's rifles all over the place. I mean, I'm in here right now at the office putting night vision and stuff for the next episode of Brothers in Arms, our gun show, you know, to go out and test night vision and stuff with sponsors. I mean, what if I walk in the office park with a rifle? Are we going to just shut half the city down and run around in fear? Now, two things could be going on. This could be a prank, or it could be some angry, disgruntled Muslim who's mad that somebody exercised their free speech to get them all stirred up as a political October surprise for Obama as all of this gets out of control. Or it could blow up in Obama's face if he doesn't handle it right, and it could hand it to Mitt Romney, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the guy's basically, there's like 1 degree of separation in their real policies. They look different, but they got basically the same elite financing them and some of the same speechwriter types, you know, reading off a teleprompter. People like, I liked Obama's speech. I liked Mitt Romney's speech. They didn't write it. Okay? It's not what they really think. They're corporate pitchmen, frontmen, representatives, cults of personality. Bill Clinton was financed by the globalist, but he was a real CIA agent out of college with Hillary. He actually wrote most of his speeches. He actually called the shots because the globalists respected him that much and he's that evil. Kennedy was a president who didn't go along with the globalists and tried to do his own stuff. They killed him. Reagan, who was an actor, actually was more of a president and made more decisions than Obama does or George W. Bush did. I mean, you need to understand, presidents today, Nixon ran the whole show. And the elite didn't like that, even though he was their guy. They got a little jealous of that because he did what he wanted. We don't have presidents anymore in this country. Okay? Jimmy Carter, bumbling puppet, who they set up. George Bush Sr., total globalist, front man of the globalist, but making some of the decisions. Now, though, under the last few presidents, total, absolute teleprompterville. So we're going to continue breaking this down and then get into the big news, which I don't want this to be a distraction. Not just the Middle East and the burning embassies and the American flags being pulled down. In Tunis, they pulled down the American flag. And a couple other places, they're pulling it down. Why is that a big deal? Here in America, the illegal aliens pulled down the American flag in San Francisco and in Tucson, Arizona, off the private businesses, off of public schools, where else did they do it? Off of post offices. There's video and photos. And it's like, oh, how cute. American school kids in San Francisco, Hispanic Americans, can't wear American flags. They're told take it off. It's upsetting to the illegal aliens who are so nationalistic from Mexico and say, hey, California was Mexico. You take that shirt off in Mexico because the Southwest, for all intents and purposes, is Mexico. And the globalists run the whole show. They run Mexico, and Mexico runs the Southwest. And they run the narcotics, and they run it all. And the government wants to destabilize it further and spread that bedlam to the United States as a false flag to take our guns. And even though they got caught, the ATF's trying to restrict semi-autos and things by regulation, not by law right now, citing Southwest bedlam and heads being dumped out every day on the U.S.-Mexico border. So I got to give my guns up because you narcotics-trafficking megabanks who said in the SPP, rebuilding your whole New World Order system, that you'd use border crises to establish your North American Union. All right, I'm ranting. Now, the big news that I'm going to cover at the bottom of the hour, the big enchilada, is that on Monday, we had Ted Anderson on about this, they announced... We're not going to call it QE3. It's going to be called continued easing. And I called Paul Watson this morning on the phone together. We sketched out an article. We collaborate a lot. And because I was upset because no one got what was happening with the quantitative easing. They're like, oh, $40 billion a month in stimulus for the American people. No, that's not what's going on. So Paul has the article coming out. But right before I went on air, Washington's blog, the great writer over there, the great researcher, they got it. So that article's already up at Infowars.com. Is Paul Watson's article up yet? Because he said it would have already been up, and it's a maximum issue that I get that article that I helped write this morning. He's polishing it up and adding links to it come out. But in the time being, before we get into this, it's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. As predicted, Bernanke launches QE3 to help big banks, which will destroy the economy. That money goes to buy derivatives. It goes to buy worthless counterfeit mortgage derivatives that have been sold in some cases more than 50 times. Counterfeit crud, and the media spends it like they're helping the economy. That's why this inflation hasn't been as intense as it should have been with tens of trillions of money being printed and issued, because it only goes to mega rich. That's why the only real hardcore hyperinflation you see is in palaces, mansions, yachts, $100,000 watches, $500,000 cars. Folks, there is inflation of close to 100% a year in luxury items. It's booming. While your favorite restaurant shuts down, And the textile plant shuts down, and the machine shop shuts down, and the steel mill shuts down, and the grocery store shuts down, while the service industry's even shut down, and things are boarded up all over the country, you go to the luxury area, baby, it is more expensive than ever. Steaks are $100 at the restaurant they were $50 the year before. Okay? Because that's where it's all going, is to Wall Street that's not free market. But it is a criminal, I'm not saying the entire Wall Street, but the mega banks at the top, and they're shutting down the rest of Wall Street as well. It's a total takeover by design, And we're going to be breaking that down. Yeah, there it is. Our article just went live at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. Great job, crew, getting that as soon as it came out. New banker bailout disguised as QE3. Latest move represents huge transfer of wealth from the middle class to the elite. Started writing this at 8 a.m. with Paul Watson. He got it all polished and put together. There it is. Maximum push. Get that out to everybody. Bottom of the hour, we're going to cover it. Now, we're going to break here in a minute. We've got Melissa Melton and John Bowne on the street down at the edge of UT where everyone's been pushed back. What is the what is it looking like? I've been watching local news, and the people are really getting into the fear and the hysteria. What's going on down there? Infowars.com reporter Melissa Melton.
Droves of students have been evacuated. We've talked to a few of them. The sense that we're getting is that a lot of students thought this was a drill because apparently they've been doing a lot of these drills lately. So when the sirens first went off, everybody just kind of sat there because they thought it was just a drill. It wasn't until later when they started sending mass texts telling everybody to get off immediately that the fear kind of really set in. And everyone we've talked to is pretty afraid.
All right. Do we have John Bowne on his line there with us? Because we're going to come back and go to both of you. Melissa, your line's not doing too well there. John Bowne, are you online with her?
Yeah, let's try this line. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think we got your lines crossed. We'll work on that during the break and come back. Stay there. We'll be back and hear exactly what's happening. Our reporters are saying it looks like it can be connected to a drill. Yeah, I mean, look, they got this video out to hype up the Muslims to go crazy. You've got all the troops massing. I told you October surprise, a surprise could be a big Middle East conflict. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to talk about World War III being geared up. We're not talking about any of that. No, Al-Qaeda, because the guy had an Arabic-sounding voice.
I am going to bomb you. Give up all your liberties. The men in black ski masks will stick hands down your pants, keep you safe. Al-Qaeda, scary, huh? Al-Qaeda work with Tea Party, Homeland Security say.
I mean, it's just all ridiculous power grab. Was it some crazy person calling in? Who knows? But now they have evacuated the J.J. Pickle Center. We're going to get an article up at Infowars.com in the next 10 minutes on this, which has nuclear reactor, has a nuclear reactor at it. So now they've got this big, giant base with fences all around it, and they've got to evacuate that closed campus now because of supposed bombs. Breaking news, UT J.J. Pickle facility also evacuated. But the real headline is nuclear reactor evacuated. We take you now to Melissa Melton, Infowars.com reporter on the street. Melissa, recap what you were trying to say earlier.
We met up with a bunch of students as the evacuation was getting into full swing. And from those that we talked to, it seems that a lot of people didn't take this seriously because they thought it was a drill. According to almost every student we spoke to, there have been a lot of drills going on with this same scenario lately. And so when the alarm started to go off, people didn't take it seriously because they thought it was just another drill. And it wasn't until later when the campus started sending out mass texts saying to get off of campus immediately that people started to get scared and really file out quick.
So, I mean, I've noticed that. So it was kind of fun to get scared. Was it kind of like a carnival atmosphere?
A little bit, yeah. We got that sense. But they just kept saying over and over, there has been so many drills lately, we didn't know what was real and what wasn't.
Oh, so they've been saying there's been an increase in drills.
Yes. In this same scenario, recently.
Expanding on this, there's also, of course, the threat at the North Dakota campus. It's been cleared. We've now confirmed what you told us about 10 minutes ago off air. that the nuclear reactor in North Austin that UT runs, along with their rail guns and particle beam weapon system, that whole campus has been evacuated as well. That's a closed campus. I don't see the point in doing that. Maybe they should shut down all the other UT campuses across Texas.
Maybe they should. Actually, there's a bunch of students milling around down here. We're driving through right now. We're in the heart of campus, and if this is really serious and it's a big deal, these people shouldn't all still be here. So there's tons of students just standing around. They're like, they're not sure what to do.
Well, some of the reports I saw were that it was going to be in 90 minutes after the call. That was an hour and almost an hour and a half ago. In fact, it'll be an hour and a half in 1 minute. So supposedly, aren't the bombs supposed to go off in about 60 seconds, Melissa?
Basically, yes. We just passed a huge group of what looked like transportation workers or construction workers just all standing around, too. So unless somebody knows something we don't, apparently, yeah, we're about to all get blown up. But nobody seems to care.
Well, I'm sure TSA will keep us safe. They're now all over Texas streets sticking their hands down people's bags. Soon it'll be down their pants. Would you feel safer, guys, if you had some TSA there?
I wish the TSA was here, don't you, John?
Oh, yeah, that would be a big help. Yeah, and you know, Alex, you there? It's John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you remember last year when that shooter went inside the building here? It looked like the Colorado shooting. Like a pre-Colorado shooting?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was, they were ready for drills on that as well. So I think what we're seeing is completely staged. Everyone seems to be...
That's right. They had drills right before the guy went in and shot himself. And right. Then they also, you're saying people said there were a bunch of drills right before this. What did they specifically say?
They just said that they were ready for evacuation drills and that this... They didn't even believe this was real because they've been given so many drills at this point. So people aren't surprised here. They're getting used to the fear that...
Well, that's what you go to college for now. I mean, there's not going to be any jobs with those degrees. You go there to learn how to spy on people, how to be spied on, how to be forced to take inoculations, and how to basically get cancer and die, and how to live in a police state. We'll be right back. Stay with us, guys.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, we've got our reporters, John Bown and Melissa Melton, at the big downtown Maine UT Command Center campus. It's really just a hedge fund for foreign banks. The university is a small part of its business. It owns media empires, sports teams, bioweapons facilities, bioweapons companies. And they've got a Bevo, you know, football team, so people feel like they're part of something when they go get a degree that in about 90% of the cases will be absolutely useless for them. Most of my family went to UT. I'm not attacking University of Texas. It's just not a university anymore. It's a brainwashing facility that engages in a lot of weapons development. And they've got rail guns, particle beam guns that are public, and multiple nuclear reactors still going. They've got one under UT downtown and a big one up north, one of the biggest research reactors in the country. They've evacuated the nuclear reactor. So just know that, because somebody called in and said, I have put bombs in your mailboxes. All of this right as they want to attack the Middle East, right as this video comes out to get everybody angry. It's probably staged, or it could be somebody who's actually mad and making threats, or it could be somebody that wanted to get out of taking tests today. or it could just be some troublemaker. I mean, we don't know. The point is that we have our reporters there, and then I get into the big news of the day, the quantitative easing and what's happening in the Middle East. I had a Ben Swan. You've seen that Fox News reporter that's making so many waves, I think better than national Fox News. He's the newest member of Fox 19 news team, and he's been there a couple years, I guess, and he's in all these reports on did the RNC script rule changes at the start of a civil war in the Republican Party. He's the guy last week that got to talk to Obama about the NDAA. He's the guy that questioned what happened there in Colorado. And I said, you know what? I've just got a feeling that guy's a listener. We need to get him on. And, of course, he is a listener of the show. And so he's going to be popping in during some of the next hour. And we're maybe going to play a few short clips of some of his reports. Pretty amazing stuff. That's a real reporter right there asking serious questions. And it's not just that he asks good questions. I mean, it looks like something you'd see on national TV, except they don't cover stuff like that on national TV. But he's getting a national following out there. So he's going to be popping in with us in the next hour, even though it's a busy news day for him. And in a moment, we're going to get to new banker bailout disguises QE3. That's our top story today. It is so important that everybody get this out to everyone they know if we're ever going to stop this madness. But first, going back to John Bowen and Melissa Melton. Guys, are you there with us in downtown Austin at UT?
Oh, yeah. We've actually moved positions. We're closer to the heart of the campus. And there are a lot more students out here evacuated. We've got more news crews over here. And I guess we're about 5 minutes away from what the bombers said the bomb would go off. So we're just going to wait on that. We're going to get some replies from the public.
Well, there's varying stories, but the AP and Huffington Post reporting, the call was at 8:35 a.m. Central. Then they said that it was past 9 o'clock. So we're 2 hours, actually, past this. But, I mean, who knows? They may shut it for weeks because it teaches everyone proper fear. And, again, I mean, I could play a clip of that. What's the name of that guy that has the puppet that says, I will kill you? It's, you know, the dead terrorist. What's the name of that guy?
I can't remember that guy's name.
Come on, we all know the name. What's the name of the guy that has the puppet, the Habib, the dead terrorist, or whatever it is?
Oh, he won on that show on TV, the America's Got Talent or something.
Yeah, what's his name again? You got Jeff Dunham. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine 310 million Americans running off the edge of a cliff, just in fear, with their eyes wide, slobber coming out their mouth, screaming, stumbling, breaking each other's necks, running over each other, piling off the edge of a cliff, right into the hands of J.P. Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, New World Order, in fear of a one-foot-tall Habib the Dead terrorist going, I will kill you. I mean,
now, I wonder how much money these drills cost to do. And, you know, they're making sure this one's successful, you know. And it's not a success. These people are walking around scratching their heads, you know. Some people are scared. Some people are just so completely desensitized by what they've done with these drills over and over and over again that that's just a big sham.
John, you noticed that in the months before 9/11, they had more than 10 bomb threats and cleared the North and South Towers in Lower Manhattan. You know that. But then on the day, they had loudspeakers saying, stay at your desk, everything's fine, when jetliners had hit the buildings. What do you think was going on there?
Pre-planned. Well, I mean, who's ready to say, stay at your desk? Who's got that all written down and ready to go?
And by the way, that was confirmed. That went on. And some people said, well, some authority over a loudspeaker. You know, airplanes have crashed into buildings. You know, there's fires everywhere. They're saying, stay at my desk. So I think I will. I think I will.
From the Colorado shooting where there was something going on over the loudspeaker there, too. You know?
Well, I mean, sure, Operation Northwoods calls for shooting U.S. citizens on the streets and in movie theaters and stuff. But and sure, Operation Gladio declassified, they shot up movie theaters and stuff to take people's rights in Europe. But you know what? They wouldn't do that now. I mean, sure, they'd take 4,000-plus foster kids in the U.S. and radiate them to death and shoot little kids up with syphilis and nerve gas our own troops by the thousands in Project Shad. But you know what? They wouldn't stage a bomb threat, John. Good people run our government, John.
Yeah, I'm, you know, reporting here from the experimental madhouse they call the University of Texas, funded by globalist madmen. This is basically a foreign entity, and they're running a drill today from their entity here in the United States, and we're getting so desensitized from all this, we need to just turn the machine around and get rid of these people, because this is too obvious.
I'm convinced that if giant flying saucers landed from Mars, like War of the Worlds, and had telescoping, you know, tripod legs and were laser beaming people, as long as there was a Bevo or your favorite local sports icon on the side, you know, the UT Longhorn symbol, people would walk out with their children and say, vaporize me, and it would just fire and destroy them. And they would just...
Well, if Al-Qaeda was smart, they would blow up Bevo. I know it's blasphemous around here, but...
My gosh. Well, the CIA, don't give them ideas. Al-CIA, don't give them, but their Al-Qaeda is busy with NATO aircraft, NATO helicopters landing them there in Turkey and in Jordan to go in and murder the Christians and Jews and people. But Al-Qaeda's dangerous, though, because they just threatened UT, though, John.
Yeah, and that, you know, now the CIA is getting into the movie business with that Muhammad movie. Maybe they'll have a sequel to that where they blow up Bevo.
Well, it's not like, John, don't start a rumor. People will be body shields, you know. Here, take my wife, guard Bevo, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, don't give them ideas. They may, like, say we've got to, like, throw our children into meat grinders because Bevo has to walk across a red carpet of ground-up children because he's so, I mean, it's the golden calf.
Yep, and he's delicious.
All right, listen, John, I know we're joking around. John, you should take this more serious. Why, these bombs were supposed to have gone off, depending on some reports, an hour ago.
Yeah,
You need to be more afraid. I mean, even though you've got a better chance of being struck twice in a year by lightning than dying from a bomb in the United States, is all these movies, the Joker was blowing up universities and stuff, and hospitals. I mean, it's real. I mean, we need TSA. They're now saying at every movie theater, people are suing the movie theater, demanding grope downs at the theater, even though the guy came to the back door, reportedly, and somebody let him in, but never mind that. I mean, you should get more into the fear, John.
Yeah, I guess I missed the boat on that one, because I'm actually a lot more afraid of the stupidity of the public.
Well, I'm afraid of the big, giant, out-of-control government buying 1.4 billion bullets and buying armored mobile giant tanks and helicopters and drones and in their own training manuals saying that they're preparing to take on the American people. I mean,
But that's okay, Alex. That's okay. That's, you know, that's great. That's freedom. That's freedom fries, Alex.
Well, I tell you, John, any other tidbits you'd like to add before I have Melissa Melton say some final words from the fear gripping Austin right now from the bombs that, depending on the report, would have gone off an hour ago or 15 minutes ago. But who knows? I mean, those bombs could be there in 100 years. We should evacuate like a neutron bomb hit Austin, all of UT, forever, because a guy with a Middle Eastern-sounding voice called up and said, I have put the bombs in the mailboxes, American pig.
Well, you know, they got to pay these police to do something out here, and then there's a lot of unmarked cars.
Good.
And those got to be paid for, too, and they've got to have something to do.
So, other than writing tickets, you mean?
Instead of writing tickets, generating more revenue for the city. But
let me get some final comments from Melissa Melton before I get to our top story that we can't cover because of the bomb threats. Go ahead, Melissa. Hello? Yes, are you scared right now?
I'm absolutely terrified right now. I really wish the TSA was here to grope me down and make sure that I'm not covered in bombs.
Well, you might actually be the person that did it all.
We were headed here for another interview, and then this suddenly happened. So, possible. Everyone else doesn't seem to be afraid at all, though. They're just
you know, I forgot like, that. You're down there. Up. You're down there to interview the UT professor. Well, actually, I don't want to give it away. Have you gotten that interview yet, or this already
don't
happened?
Don't give it away. We were about to do that. We were headed here for that purpose, and then we couldn't even get on campus because they were closing off streets. And so I'm going to try and get it after this, but might have to postpone it. I don't know. He might be really afraid because he might be scared he's going to blow up. So
Any other points, Melissa?
I just think it's really sad. It's a sad testament to see how far we've fallen, that all of these people are just milling around. They don't seem to even care. I mean, the few students that I talked to were afraid, but it was only way after the fact. They were just so desensitized by all the drills and all the things that have been going on that they just kind of walking around like, oh, okay, we'll get blown up. That's fine. I don't care. It's very sad.
Well, just thank goodness Homeland Security's there to keep us safe and ship guns into Mexico and fund Al-Qaeda and give them 10,000 missiles in Libya. And again, we've got to give our rights up. I mean, Al-Qaeda is so evil and deadly that our government runs it publicly.
They're everywhere. So
oh, it's
we need to be safe.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for your courage, because I was like, how are they already down there when I got here to the office? And then they're like, oh, they were down there doing an interview. And I'd forgotten you were going down to interview the professor who, well, let's just say has some interesting statements. So I look forward to having that information. Thank you, Melissa.
Definitely. Thank you.
Call back into the hotline. Anything else develops down there at UT. Gripped now for 2.5 hours in just total fear. City shut down. Nuclear reactor on a closed campus. Evacuated. I mean, end of the world stuff. Somebody called up with a scary Middle Eastern accent. Man, that could be a new weapon system. Just where drones fly around with people, you know, with daily calls to prayer. And everyone would just fall over dead. All right, let's shift gears to the real news. Okay, I've got articles here with press conferences by top scientists where new GMO crops hitting store shelves are linked to reprogramming your organs to turn off. But hey, that'll make more money for the hospitals. Nobody noticed pediatric cancers up by 10,000%. Nobody noticed other cancers up by 3,000%. Sheryl Crow, I mean, got a brain tumor after breast cancer. It's kind of like getting a cold now to get brain cancer. So everything's fine. Let's not worry about all that. Let's not worry about QE3 or QE Unlimited, the QE Big Gulp, Big Bite. And at first it was QE1, QE2, and we promised never QE3. See, we told you we keep our promise. It's going to be called Unlimited, Continual. We're going to be breaking that down ahead of our guest joining us in the second segment of the next hour. But this article is big medicine up at InfoWars.com. You might want to Twitter this out. In fact, we'll send it out on The Real Alex Jones at Twitter. You might want to retweet this. You might want to put it on your Facebook. You might want to get it out to your family so they know that when they hear, oh, the government's doing some stimulus for you. This is another banker bailout on what? What did even CNN report? In fact, guys, I am that to you. But I want to just show people CNN itself admitting it. We have the Fed statement linked here in the article. $40 billion a month, and there's going to be some other ones they're going to do, to buy securitized derivatives mortgage instruments, a whole spectrum of them. $40 billion a month to buy the fraudulent crud. And you know the Federal Reserve, with all the quantitative easing they do to the banks, which is just a tax to them, a payoff, not even a bailout, you get to pay it back in taxes, and they're going to squeeze it out of you. In federal, state, property taxes, it all gets tickets, the cops write you, that money all gets fenced back through, city budgets and the rest of it. It all goes to the offshore banks, and the media will tell you it's your debt. There it is. The policy known as quantitative easing, and often abbreviated to QE3, entails buying $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities each month. The end date remains up in the air as the Fed will reevaluate the strength of the economy in coming months. Folks, they're shutting down the real economy. The big banks on record will not loan. Will not loan. Let me say that again. Will not loan. Since they've gotten 40-something trillion dollars one way or another, it wasn't $870 billion, folks. Tens of trillions of dollars they've leveraged. They've put it into more derivatives, more crud, had cities, counties, pension funds, government minions invest everything in it so that our whole world is tied to a black hole of fraud while they demonize lemonade stands and the Amish trying to and pass all these regulations to shut down family farms and pay to ship our jobs overseas and have tax incentives to ship them overseas. That's the grand plan. And then the big banks, what did they do? Oh, we're going to give them trillions to loan to get the economy going. That'd be bad enough, but at least it would get the economy going, even if it inflated the currency some. Instead, they're devaluing the currency
while so you're getting double whammy. You're not getting the extra money, but it does devalue the currency. So things do go up in price, but not as much. Only in luxury items, yachts, $500,000 cars, palaces, mansions, penthouses. That is seeing some of the greatest inflation ever, because the money all goes to them, and you're going to pay it off in taxes. And that's why they're getting 1.4 billion bullets and giant black tanks and turning the general cops all into SWAT teams, because they're getting ready to stomp your guts out. They're going to take everything you got and shut your town down with Agenda 21, and only the insiders can do business. Boy, I tell you, I'm here ranting and raving because what we put up with is so unreal. But that's what happens with tyranny. Stuff gets really crazy. And it's so clear we're in a psychological warfare operation. The mega banks actually brag. I mean, I've listened to Bloomberg Radio, where they have all these big bankers on bragging that they're conquering Europe and that they're going to have a federation and that they're bankrupting the nation states and how they're going to get rid of football teams named after countries, the soccer teams, and make it all be named after the euro, and how they're going to set up a global government. And it's just all over the place what they're doing. But then they're on the main news for the general public, going, oh, we're going to $40 billion a month to help get the economy going, while they privately order the banks not to loan to people. That came out, because that would cause hyperinflation. Instead, there's only hyperinflation, and it's basically started. I mean, some luxuries are up 100% a year, 3 years running, because these people have unlimited money, ladies and gentlemen, and you're paying for it. You're paying for it. And that's why I get so mad at cops when they pull you over or, you know, white glove you, getting in your face. I want to go to Ted Anderson here to talk about this. And Ted, let's just get you back on, because I wanted to do a whole interview and I went off on this stupid bomb threat issue. But this article that we've got, I just had it and I was out there showing him the article. I need the article. It's the top Infowars.com article. And I was showing him that I wanted it tweeted out at Real Alex Jones. So it's gone. It's the top Infowars.com story there at Infowars.com. New banker bailout disguised as QE3. Ted reported this on Monday. No one was even reporting it. The Fed said, yeah, we're just going to look at ongoing. It's not even QE3. It's to whoever they want. And that's why Obama's saying we'll bail out businesses, not just GM. That means all their buddies will get free money. Like MSNBC got $500 million of stimulus money and did not hire one person. They gave all those anti-American scum collaborators giant raises to sit up there and put down my country. And to run pieces how it's bad that talk show hosts like Alex Jones have advertising and make money and sell things. We sell things people want. We voluntarily fund our operation while these pigs live off our money. And they call this capitalism and blame capitalism for their crony fraud takeover. Ted, I'm ranting. And I wanted to get you up here about QE3 and not do an infomercial for gold. But you are the name in gold and silver. And gold went up, almost $50 yesterday. It's up and down today. But we said when they announced QE3, get ready. All the big analysts are saying, Ted, $2,000 gold by the end of the year. I don't know if that's the case, but I know they're devaluing my dollar, and that's why I'm in gold and silver, Ted Anderson.
Well, yeah, I mean, you should be in gold and silver because they're printing paper and they're liquefying the money supply. I mean, there's going to be so much money in the marketplace, and you're talking about $40 billion that they're announcing. But if you go in and you read that Fed report, actually, after they consider everything they're doing, it's actually $85 billion each month of new money that's being placed into the system. And that's competing with the money that we already have.
How much money? Again, say that again, Ted. How much?
$85 billion. If you... we have a PDF version of the open market. The Board of Governors published this thing, and you can have it. If you want to Google it, fine. If you want to just save yourself a little time, just call us. We'll send you a PDF document of it. But it's $85 billion.
Absolutely, Ted. We've got it linked in our article, too. New banker bailout disguises QE3. Now, here's the little pitch for you, folks. They've got a bunch of gold and silver they bought a week ago. But, you know, as it's been going up now over $150 or so the last few weeks, they've still got it lower prices. But that's going to sell out and you'll pay more. Give Midas a call. Ask for the radio specials or the free reports, 800-686-2237. Stay there, Ted.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Ted Anderson's with us another 5 minutes. And Ted, let me just have you back on. Let me just have you back on for the whole third hour, if you can do it, to actually get into monetary issues and not just sit here and pitch gold and silver. And again, we pitch things we believe in, which then funds our operation. But that's why I get so excited about all this, because I believe in it. I just called Ted last week, and Ted, you've been so busy. I asked what you thought the best of the radio specials were, and you were going to call me back. I was going to get a few gold coins and some silver. And Ted, you didn't call me back, so I need to call one of your brokers, don't I?
Yeah, well, no, we'll get it done. But I can tell you right now, watching the charts yesterday, silver and gold both, it was just coming along and going, and then all of a sudden a spike upward. I mean, to have a $46 increase in gold in one day and about $4.60 in silver in one day, are you kidding me? And that's just quantitative easing. That's just the news breaking. The FOMC Open Market Committee comes out and they decide that they're going to get into this quantitative easing. But like you say, it's not called QE3. The reason why that is because QE2 had an end date to it and a goal, and this is how much we're going to do. This is open-ended quantitative easing. They said that we're going to continue to print more money and to get the printing presses rolling until they see the economic results that they're looking for. And basically, it's just an open-ended thing. We're heading off of a cliff, Alex. And if people aren't smart enough to get out of paper, I mean, I don't care. Buy storable foods. I don't care what you buy, but get yourself out of the
paper. Ted, you predicted this. Porter Stansberry predicted it. Gerald Celente predicted it. They all predicted it. We all predicted it, and it means curtains. In fact, I have a clip of Ron Paul here. This is Ron Paul last night saying we should be panicking over this. And Ron Paul's never talked like that. This means inflation. And because it's not targeted as a real turning up the printing presses that at least helps the people on one level, this is all pointed at the ultra rich. It's going to be a double whammy. Here's Ron Paul.
The one thing that Bernanke has not achieved that frustrates him, I can tell, is he gets no economic growth. He doesn't do anything with the unemployment numbers. And from my viewpoint, I think the country should have panicked over the fact of what the Fed is saying, that we've lost control. And the only thing we have left is massively creating new money out of thin air, which hasn't worked before, and it's not going to work this time.
You know, Ted, I'm going to be honest. You know me privately. I'm very calm, very intellectual, very focused until I get on air. And then I turn into the wild man because I get so angry about this stuff. But I don't do it on purpose. But intellectually, this has been like a bomb being dropped on us. And I'm so angry that I even sarcastically made fun of the fake UT bomb threat for the first 45 minutes of the show, instead of really talking about the full magnitude of this unlimited QE. I mean, but as Ron Paul just said, this means that this is all they've got, and they're going to use it to transfer wealth. You know, Ron Paul says they're trying to fix it. Look, the globalists admit they've engineered this. So it's time to stop saying they don't know what they're doing. They're in control. They run a global government. They know exactly what they're doing. Ted, I'm not knocking Ron Paul here, but, you know, he gives them this thing that they don't know what they're doing. I've been saying for over a decade this was coming exactly as it has. George Humphrey's been saying it for 14 years, economist, friend of mine. This is an engineered collapse, Ted.
I know you've been talking about that, and I've alluded to that as well. The very system that's set up creates debt. You know, money from debt is going to just mean more debt. As the economy grows, we're going to get further into the hole.
And they hold the debt. Listen, can you do a full hour with us and take calls?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do that on the third hour.
Well, I'll see you back in 55 minutes, Ted.
All right, sounds good.
Folks, give Midas Resources a call. Ask them about radio specials. That's where I get my gold and silver. And again, I bought gold at $260 an ounce. I didn't sell it when it hit $2,000. When it dropped down to $1,650, I didn't sell. Same thing with silver. I bought silver at $5 an ounce. When it got up to $40, $45, $50 an ounce, I didn't sell any of it. When it went down, I didn't sell it because I understand what's happening.
The front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong. A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Well, I tell you, we are really excited to have this fellow on because the last year or so, he has exploded on the scene with Fox 19. Television, and he's also worked at other TV stations around the country, and he just absolutely knocks it out of the park on pro-Second Amendment stuff, on covering how Ron Paul and the Liberty Movement were shafted by the Republican establishment. He got an interview with President Obama last week that we're going to play a clip of later, where he really nails him down on the NDAA and secret arrest of American citizens, that by way of federal court, 2 days ago, did a permanent injunction. Of course, we had Chris Hedges on, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, who was part of that suit. Now Obama is appealing to the Supreme Court. He also has looked at some of the anomalies of the shootings there in Colorado. So basically, he's like a professional-focused, kind of new style Alex Jones, which I love. We need more people that have courage. And I think this guy's going places, let me tell you, because he's got it all. And it is so exciting to see reporters like this. Now, I'll say this. I remember Bill O'Reilly on Fox Television 13 years ago interviewing people like Tony Brown about the Illuminati and the New World Order. And I saw him on Extra, was it Hard Copy, 20-something years ago. We have the tape, we played it, exposing how the government and E. Howard Hunt basically killed JFK. So I hope that Ben Swan, if he ends up on national television, doesn't turn over to the dark side like Bill O'Reilly. But I got to tell you, it's just great to have him on. And I know there's other people out there. In fact, if you're a radio listener, if you could see him, we bring him up on Skype, you know who I'm talking about. But in a few minutes, we'll play some clips, and you'll know who we're talking about. But Ben, it is great to have you on with us here today.
Alex, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So tell us about your awakening. I mean, how they allow you in mainstream television to tell the truth.
You know, a lot of people are asking that question and how we get to cover the things that we do. And I'm really blessed. I work at a TV station that is not owned by Fox. We're a Fox affiliate. And because of that, a lot of people assume that we're owned by Fox. We're not. We're owned by Raycom Media. And I work for guys who are just interested in getting out factual information. And so we've had a tremendous response. I think the response that we've gotten from people has been just beyond expectation, far above and beyond expectation. And people are really hungry for it. They're hungry for someone who will look beyond, the typical mainstream narrative. And obviously, I mean, this is no surprise to you because clearly, you know, the issue with alternative media is it is growing so fast right now versus what's happening with national media or mainstream media, which is essentially dying right now. And there's a reason for that. I mean, people have already heard all these same types of narratives before, and they're tired of them, and they're moving beyond them. And so we're fortunate to be kind of the bridge, I think, between alternative media and mainstream media.
By the way, I should add, they give you leeway because you have won both the Edward R. Murrow Award and two Emmys that you got, I guess, reporting from Texas. So, I mean, you are quite the journalist, and so you're actually really doing real research. It's just, it's amazing. And again, mainstream media would still be dominant if people like you were on the national scene. How long have you been there in Cincinnati?
For about a year and a half, just a little over a year and a half. And about 2 to 3 months after I came to this station, we had this idea that we were going to try something different because it was time to kind of rebrand ourselves a little bit. And we moved towards a balanced news brand, which, again, sounds very much like the Fox brand. And so there are advantages to that, but then there are some disadvantages because there are some people who go into it automatically thinking, well, you're just, you know, little mini Fox News. And part of the goal of that balanced brand was to do this segment called Reality Check, where we look beyond headlines and actually hold politicians accountable. I'm not sure my bosses realized how accountable we were going to hold them, but so far they've been extremely supportive of it, and we're doing our best to get out there and get to the facts.
How did you get the Obama interview? And then give us some of the behind the scenes. We're going to play a clip of it in a moment. But, I mean, pretty amazing. Out of a sea of journalists and so-called mainstream media, no one will ever ask him a hard question. We know now, for the first time ever, they're vetting the questions beforehand. They're in the press briefing room. And also when Obama goes out and gives official press conferences, you obviously got off script there and actually did your job.
Well, you know, with the Obama interview, and it's pretty simple. I mean, he's been very good about doing these interviews with local media everywhere he goes. And it's actually a very good strategy because what you wind up having are reporters who will go out and ask a number of questions. Typically, they're locally focused. So in the case of Ohio, they'll ask about the auto industry. They're going to ask about jobs in Ohio, the economy, which is actually doing better than in a lot of places in the nation. And so it's really a good place for him to do those interviews. But he does them everywhere. And we were just next on the list. And as we went down the list and they gave us the call and said, you know, send somebody up, and it was us. I think one of the advantages that I had was the week before we had done a one-on-one with Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan together. And when we sat down with them, you know, we weren't easy on them. And one of the questions we asked Romney about was how, you know, his campaign along with the RNC had worked to decredential and essentially disenfranchise all of these Republican delegates from the state of Maine. And so we were hard on Romney, and I think that they suspected, I don't know this, but I think they suspected we would probably not be as hard on the president because, as you know, Alex, I mean, that's the way media works in this country. You either support one side and then attack the other, or vice versa. So, you know, they allowed us to come in and do the interview. They put no prerequisites on it, just told us you have 5 minutes, and when your 5 minutes is up, you know, you're done. And so we went from there.
Incredible. We're going to play a clip of that right now. In fact, here it is from the intro of the news piece. Folks can go to fox19.com and watch the whole thing. And I should add, other Fox affiliates around the country who are on YouTube are lucky to get a few thousand views, even a big stories. Your stories are getting hundreds of thousands and millions of views, again, showing that the future is real reporting, real questions. There's no debate the NDAA is unconstitutional. The courts have already ruled it. There's no debate. It's super scary right out of Nazi Germany. So media, though, just acts like, oh, we're going to be, you know, non-biased. Well, I mean, a ham sandwich is a ham sandwich. A draconian piece of legislation is draconian. And that's the end of it. I mean, you have to report the facts. You've done that. And the media can take a cue from this. Here it is.
Mr. President, first of all, thank you for taking the time
thank
to talk
so
with
much.
Us. When you signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law, you issued a signing statement at that time that
right.
said you would not use that power for indefinite detention on Americans. You understood the concerns that people had.
Yeah.
A judge earlier this year issued that the administration couldn't use those powers because it's unconstitutional. So why are the government's own lawyers fighting that judge's order, the injunction in particular?
Yeah. Well, look, the basic principle here is, number one, my first job is to keep the American people safe. Number two, we've got to do it in a way that respects our values and our traditions of rule of law. That's why I banned torture. That's why I've argued that we should actually close Guantanamo. But I've also said that, you know, we've got some bad guys who are down there who we may not be able to try in a traditional court, but have pledged to try to hurt Americans. And so that's something that we inherited, that we're dealing with, and it's complicated. On the other hand, what I also said was a U.S. citizen can never be subject to that kind of detention. Congress disagreed with me, and I didn't want us to not be able to finance our military and pay our soldiers and our troops So I signed the bill, but what I also said was, look, that I'm never going to use this power, and you know, what I would suspect is that the courts are going to agree with us over the long term that that is not something that you can use when it comes to U.S. citizens.
Well, let me ask you then also about the so-called presidential kill list that's gotten a lot of attention, and this list of folks who have been targeted for assassination.
Right.
And on that list have been U.S. citizens who have not been afforded trial, including Anwar al-Awlaki.
All right, let's stop right there.
How do you, as president, or any president for that matter...
Yeah, we've got Anwar al-Awlaki, who dined secretly at the Pentagon. We've got all that going on. And we've got the fact that Obama, it turns out, demanded that it be added to the bill, the indefinite detention of Americans. And he's got his Justice Department fighting to defend the legislation of the NDAA and his signing of it. And then he just sat there, Ben, and told you that, oh, he knew that the courts would overturn it. I mean, that makes Bill Clinton look like he's honest.
Well, you know, look... This story, especially on the kill list, has gotten so much attention nationally and to the point where it was picked up by The Atlantic and Huffington Post and a lot of liberal, even the UK Guardian, liberal publications ran that interview. And it was really interesting to me to go through and to read the comment section, not so much what they were writing, but the comment section afterward. There were a couple of things that were very interesting there. Because as I think you alluded to a minute ago, we're not really breaking ground here in terms of those questions. I mean, those questions are not conspiratorial. They're not, you know, these kind of off in the weeds questions. This is stuff that's pretty much out there, and it's pretty easy to find. Any reporter can find it. The discussion on the NDAA or the kill list or the situation with al-Awlaki. The problem is, I believe the problem really stems from the fact that media won't talk about these things because it does require some real effort to dig into it. I got a couple of interviews with reporters who asked me about it. Why would you ask those questions? And how could you even ask that? I mean, how would you even have the background on it? Well, because we've been covering it for a year. We've covered all of these issues. You mentioned about the Obama administration asking for it. We've covered extensively that statement by Carl Levin.
I tell you what, stay there. We're going to come right back after break and continue. Yeah, the senator, Carl Levin, and others came out and said, hey, don't blame us for this. You asked for this, and then they released the letter. I mean, the whole time Obama says, I don't want it. And then he says, don't worry, I'll veto it so opposition can't form. And then he gets it passed. And then he says, I won't sign it. But then he does. I mean, this is incredible deception. Stay there, Ben Swan. All right, we're back live. We've got Ben Swan. He reports for Fox 19 out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And every week makes national news because he covers hardcore issues and does his research. And I think you were alluding before we went to break there, Ben, that the media kind of comes to you and is like, how do you know this? How do you? It's almost like you're reading a book. That's weird. I've had other media ask me questions like, how do you know all this stuff? And I'm like, well, I'm into the news. I'm into the information. So elaborate on that. And then, yeah, I continue on the point you were getting into with Obama saying, well, you know, I knew courts would overthrow it, when it turns out he was the one, his White House, demanding that the indefinite detention for citizens be in there.
You're right. Well, absolutely. And let me just comment on that second part first, because you'll notice in the interview that we did with him, you know, you got 5 minutes, so there's not a whole lot of time. If you want to fight over one subject, you're not going to get much else in there. And so what we choose to do, because of the segment we do with Reality Check and the way it's built out, you know, it really is perfect for going in, you ask the question, he gives the answer. But we don't leave it at that. And that's what so much national media does now. It's a he said, she said. I ask the question, you give the answer, and we're done. What we do is say, okay, I'll ask the question, you give the answer, and then we're going to go back and fact check your answer. And if you're wrong, we're going to say you were wrong. And if you're not being honest, we're going to say you're not being honest. So what we saw in that case is he never directly addresses the second part of my question, which was, why are your own lawyers fighting that injunction, which, of course, as you just mentioned, that question's now dated because as of yesterday, they're now fighting the overall striking down of the indefinite detention clause, and they are appealing that ruling. So if the president is honest when he says, we always knew it would be struck down, we believe that it would go to the courts, we believe the courts would side with us, show me how that's siding with you if you're the one fighting it. Regardless, you know, as you mentioned a minute ago, with media, people keep asking, well, how do you know all this stuff? And really, there are two things. Number one is, as you mentioned, you just have to do a little bit of research, and there's so much of this stuff out there. And again, it's because of the internet. It's because of alternative media. And also, look, listen, I've got brilliant, brilliant people who follow me on Facebook, on Twitter. I mean, the people who I call themselves followers or fans, that's the term that Facebook uses, right? I'm fans of theirs. I'm a huge fan of theirs because they're so smart and they have so much information, and they just constantly are feeding back into me a lot of information and what's going on in the world. And did you know this? And did you know this? And I feel like they've been helping me to gain an education because there's so much stuff out there and they're just helping to draw it all in.
Well said, man. I tell you, it is so refreshing, Ben, to see somebody professionally get up there and I told Chris Hedges this last week because I'm not liberal or conservative. I'm just about truth and justice and freedom because I love my wife and my children. And I want a future. It's refreshing to have somebody like Chris Hedges out there fighting the NDAA with his lawsuit and winning. And it's refreshing to see somebody like you, well-spoken, focused, handsome, getting the word out and reaching millions from one little TV station, because it gives me hope that there are going to be other people out there that can do a better job than I can. That's what I told Chris Hedges. I mean, we all have our own tools in the fight for liberty. It's great. Now I'm wondering who else is going to step up? Who else is going to take action? Because all that evil needs to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. And so I salute what you're doing. And the point you make about what your listeners and viewers are saying, following the points they give you, it's incredible data. It's like the comments under the stories you were alluding to, the amazing points they're making. And you see everywhere, whether it's a right-wing site or a left-wing site with those bias, the comments more and more aren't left-wing or right-wing. They're like, hey, we see through this.
Right, right. Well, no, that's absolutely true. And what was exciting about, like, for instance, the Huffington Post is a good example. On the HuffPo article, if you read the comments, it was so interesting to hear people who are so used to this left-right paradigm that they couldn't even begin to fathom the idea. So their first complaint is, well, you're from a Fox station, so what you're asking the president about, you know, this kill list can't possibly be true. Secondly, it's the same people in many cases who wanted Bush tried as a war criminal, who want Cheney tried as a war criminal, who give Obama a pass on his kill list. And so it was really interesting, that dynamic was they were really struggling through it. And then, of course, you know, I posted it on my social networking pages so that people could see it there, go there and comment. And what was exciting to me was some of our people, when I say our, I mean, you know, liberty-minded people, start writing on there. And actually, we're winning some arguments and I think even winning over some people's minds, saying, look, you have to break through and shatter through that paradigm that says it's left versus right, Republican versus Democrat, because it's not. It's liberty versus oppression. That's what the real issue is. And I think people are beginning to see that.
Wow, we're going to go to break. I have a long 18-minute segment coming up. I want to get into your favorite reports and what you're working on now, and then open the phones up for your fans all over the United States and worldwide that watch your reality check just as soon as it comes out. I know we do. And I remember seeing you about a year and a half ago. I'm like, man, this is something different. And then the reports just keep coming. And then in hindsight, they're so accurate. A breath of fresh air, folks. A breath of fresh air. We'll be right back. The toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. Stay with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, he is an award-winning researcher, reporter, TV anchor. He anchors the news there on Fox 19, fox19.com in Cincinnati, Ohio, working at other stations in Texas. He's won the Edward R. Murrow Award and two Emmys on his mantle. And he's a patriot. Very exciting. I want to get into some of his other stories here. Ben Swan, local Ohio reporter, grills Obama on kill list. Here's another one. Reality check. Is the embassy attack in Libya a clear example of blowback? Here's another one. Will the Libya attack shape American foreign policy moving forward? These are the important questions. He goes on. Did RNC script the rule changes? Will that start a civil war in the Republican Party? He questioned the Aurora shooting and the anomalies and people saying other shooters and all the rest of it. I mean, this is what we need to talk about. These are the questions. I've got to ask you this, not to you know, not to promote my show or anything. I'm just flattered by it. My producer was telling me when he asked, hey, have you ever heard of the Alex Jones Show, that you indeed have heard of the show and do listen sometimes. Now, I know as a journalist, I'm more of a journalist slash commentator, you know, rabble rouser. I wear a lot of hats around here. But I'm just curious, how did you stumble across my broadcast and how did it affect the different perspectives that you're bringing to your own show?
Well, I would say that I knew of you because I'm from Texas, and obviously you're down in Texas. So now I'm from further west than you are. I was aware of you and had heard your name. And then most of it really was, it was very conspiratorial and the guy's a nut job. And so I didn't really know much about you. And then once I've gotten more into what we've been covering in the last few months, I had a lot of people who have said, you know, Alex Jones has covered a lot of these things. And obviously there are people who are weary because, as you said, you're more of a commentator. So in your case, certainly it's more of a, there's more opinion infused into it, more perspective infused into it, which is fine. I mean, clearly you're doing what you do. I do think there's something very important about alternative media. And one of the things that I think is impressive, regardless of how people feel about you one way or the other, because obviously you have many, many fans out there and you got people who don't feel as strongly about you or dislike you. You know, and that's not necessarily a bad place to be. Look, I always tell people, I would rather people love me or hate me, but don't feel nothing about me. Because as soon as you're the guy that people feel nothing about, then you're not accomplishing anything. You know, at least challenge the narrative and challenge what people are thinking and challenge their minds. And so I think you do a great job of that. And I take my hat off to you for that.
Well, I just wanted to get your perspective because I, again, admire your courage and what you're doing. I mean, obviously you're a talented guy and I hope that it doesn't, you know, count against you with the power structure that you're telling the truth. Have you gotten any big national offers yet in the last year and a half that you've been knocking it out of the park?
Nope. No, in fact, very, very little talk from anyone higher up, which is fine with me. You know, one of the things that I don't ever want to do is I never want to look beyond where I'm at right now. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, I'm incredibly blessed to be doing what I'm doing and to have the platform that I have. And I will say that in the last year and a half, my view of what, you know, national media is has completely changed. And certainly my view of what it means to be a national voice, because we're sitting here in little old Cincinnati, Ohio, and yet we have a global voice right now. And people in 30 different countries are watching what we do. And it's this little 5-minute segment. And, you know, we do it 3 times a week.
Yeah. If I was Glenn Beck launching his new TV network back on television, I would hire somebody like you. And I think that'd probably be a perfect fit. I mean, Glenn Beck actually is in competition with me. He thinks I'm not in competition with him. I want to defeat the globalists. There's no future. But the reason I brought up myself was I wanted to get into your view of the world, because I know as a journalist, you don't want to put any of those views out because then they could say, oh, well, that's his bias. But come on. I mean, tyranny is tyranny. I mean, it wouldn't be, oh, you have a bias in 1860 because you were against slavery and, oh, that's your opinion. Obviously, it's the right position to be against slavery. I mean, some of these things are so clear. What is your view of QE3? What is your view of the TSA? All of this stuff. I mean, is it that the world's getting crazier, that that's brought you closer to, say, my views?
Well, here's what I think. You know, you asked about QE3, and we're actually doing a piece on it next week to explain to people exactly how it works and what the design is behind it. My issue is less about, like, for instance, obviously I have very strong opinions, but I think most people do. My issue is more about making sure that I'm not going to necessarily try to sway someone else's opinion. I just want their opinion to be based on fact, not on fairy tale. And I think what we see too often in modern media is that we're allowing people to buy into fairy tales. We don't challenge them. Jon Stewart does a hilarious bit making fun of the way that CNN does their whole, we'll leave it there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they have this phrase, we'll leave it there. And he made fun of that one time. And the fact that they say, we'll leave it there on major issues that shouldn't be left there, because you're not allowing people to go through this process of critical thinking and to say, well, what does this actually mean for my life? So when Ben Bernanke announces, yeah, we're going to go ahead and move on with QE3 and it'll help the economy, I would be willing to bet you that only 1/10 of the population, if even that, has any clue as to what he's talking about, has any clue at all. Maybe even, you know, 1% of the population really understands what.
I agree with you, because I've talked to so many bankers, business people, even folks that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They don't. Who are in finance, they don't understand what this means.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there are so many different components to it. You know, you mentioned that we've been talking a lot about the issue in Libya, what's going on over there right now. And one of the reasons we're able to do that is because if you go all the way back to when we first started doing these, one of the very first reality check segments we ever put together was about the fact that the U.S. was getting involved in Libya, and it didn't make sense as to why we were doing it. The fact that we were involving ourselves without a declaration of war. And now we're starting to see kind of the ramifications of that foreign policy and what's it really about. One of the things we're going to move into in the next few weeks, and I think people will be pretty interested in it, is we're going to start taking a look at the situation with the petrodollar and what China's doing right now in terms of these refineries they're attempting to build in Saudi Arabia and in Egypt, and ultimately what it's going to mean if the petrodollar disappears and there's a new currency in which oil was bought and traded. If that happens, it means a change in the way of life for every American that people don't even see coming because nobody's talking about it in national media. Alternative media, you guys are talking about it.
Thank you, Mr. Edward R. Murrow. Absolutely on target right there. That is so exciting to hear someone in mainstream news understand that. And the power structure knows this, but it's at a very high technocratic level. They're engineering this while moving their assets to China and other areas ahead of this seismic shift to bring in this global governance, this world government run by the private banks. How do I know that? They wrote about it 30 years ago. They wrote about it 10 years ago. They now brag about it here and there. So more and more, the mainstream media realizes they're passe. Have you seen the CNBC clip where they admit, hey, we're all slaves to global government run by bankers?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Guys, can we cue that up, please, the CNBC clip? Because In more and more publications, they are admitting it, but it's more in establishment publications or in trade publications. They're admitting where we're going. But this isn't just quantitative easing. It's also been, and I want your take on this, going directly to the mega banks themselves as a kind of bailout. I mean, the $40 billion a month, half of the $80 billion goes to buy these derivatives, these mortgage derivatives. I mean, that isn't the taxpayer's job to pay for that.
No, absolutely not. And they're doing exactly what you said. What they're essentially doing is saying, look, we're going to go in and we're going to buy all these mortgage-backed securities and derivatives. And in doing so, they are creating a system where they're socializing the profit, they're privatizing the profit in that the banks are the ones who will profit from it. But then they're socializing the risk of it. They're buying up all these risky things with our dollars, then turning around and saying, well, here are the profits for that. We don't share in the profits of it. The other issue is that this is indefinite. And people may not realize this, but when you move into quantitative easing that has no end to it, it's simply indefinite, and you're going to buy all this up. If you have a 401k, if you have a mutual fund that you're investing into for your retirement, all of those very safe ones that traditionally have done well, those are all going to be bought up by the Fed. So the Fed's going to have control of that. The government will control all of those safe bets, which means if you have money you need to put aside for your own retirement, they're actually going to force you to put it into riskier stocks. There are no safe bets because they're going to buy up all the ones that are safe. So it really hurts everyone in this process. It doesn't just help the banks, but it actually puts the average investor in a position where everything they're investing into for their future that traditionally has been very safe is now going to be very risky.
They infect the whole system, then hold you hostage and say, we're too big to fail, and then basically transfer all the wealth to themselves while destroying your wealth. Then they're the last group standing, and they're able to buy everything up for pennies on the dollar. That is the economic model of conquest that we're now facing as a society. And as you just stated, when they announce unlimited QE3, that leads one place. It leads to Weimar Republic, Germany, type inflation. It leads to Zimbabwe style inflation. That is the road that they've now put us on. And like you said, it's just a minor footnote. Oh, QE3, no connection to gold exploding and other commodities like gasoline, oil spiking. And this is just with the announcement. And here are the insiders now, not doing QE1, QE2, QE3, unlimited, open-ended QE3. Now they get to know, the insiders, when they're going to be doing it with these little adjustments. The insider trading ramifications are stratospheric.
What's interesting, too, is even the terms that are used, QE1, QE2, QE3, it sounds like it is the third time that the Fed has gone through this process in order to, as most people would call it, stimulate the economy. The problem is QE1, QE2, and QE3 are not the same thing at all. They were completely different programs that were designed in order to affect the markets and affect the system. So it's not, QE3 is not round three, and that's what most people think that it is. It's an entirely different setup. Again, as you mentioned, buying up all of these mortgage-backed derivatives. And as a result of that, I think most people have no idea. I think they think QE3, more stimulus, that means the government's going to put more money into the system. Well, that's good for everyone. And again, as you mentioned too, most financial channels and most financial reporters aren't even talking about it in any term that people can understand. But what you describe right now about shifting all of this burden away from the banks themselves, putting the risk onto the taxpayer, buying up the safe bets, shifting their own money. This is all stuff that, when you say it, a lot of people would say, oh, it's Alex Jones, it's all conspiratorial. It's not a conspiracy at all in terms of being hidden. It's a conspiracy that's happening right out in the open, and anyone can find this information. They're just not bothering to do so. They're too busy worried about the fact that Jersey Shore's off at the end of the season.
Well, exactly. And a lot of times I get up here and rant and rave because I'm genuinely upset. That tends to get people out of their trance to realize something's going on. And I kind of make it safe to talk about these things, and then others can start to cover it. So I think everybody, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That's why I'm excited to see you and others out there, you know, exposing this in a, you know, really focused news style, because that will reach people out there who've kind of heard about this but think it's a conspiracy theory. And there you are with a whole news team behind you, able to lay all this out, and people can go again to fox19.com to find all your reports. They're also on YouTube. Before we go to some phone calls here and talk about some of the other reports you're working on right now, Ben Swan, award-winning reporter joining us right now, I wanted to ask you the question about your social media and thing, some of your own private websites or things outside of the Fox side, if folks want to follow some of the things you're talking about off air.
Yeah, they can go over to Facebook. We have a pretty strong Facebook page. It's facebook.com/BenSwanRealityCheck. That's the easiest way to find it. And Swan is two N's. So if you're not familiar with me, then you've got to put in BenSwanN, Reality Check. And then you can follow us on Twitter as well. And it's at Fox19 Ben Swan. So we're doing work on both of those sites. We don't really have much going on with Google Plus yet, but we're working on creating some circles there, create more discussion again, because as I mentioned, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the people who follow me. And I just feel like those are the folks. So many of them are so smart and savvy, and they know what's going on. They're awake is the term I would use for them. And when you get around people who are awake, it energizes you and it keeps you
going. Yeah, that's what's happened. Well, I've seen your sites. It's basically, it's liberty lovers. It's my listeners. It's your listeners. It's people that understand what's happening and who are breaking down the left-right paradigm and saying, hey, it's about liberty. Now, the Democrats just so happen to be, you know, absolute tyrants. The Republicans, shame ball of wax. I tend to agree with the Republicans more because on the surface they say they're pro-gun and things like that. But again, at the very top, you see with somebody like Obama and Romney, past the rhetoric, there's almost no difference. What's your take on that?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is, you have to strain to find a real substantive difference between President Obama and Mitt Romney. And that's one reason why the two of them, I think, are going to really struggle when you get into this debate. The conventions were fascinating for folks who were kind of political watchers. The conventions were really interesting because the Republicans did such a poor job of shaping their message. Their message really wasn't about what they're going to change in the future. It was about how Obama had failed and he hadn't done enough. And they really pushed for this "we built it" kind of idea. Because they were using a play on words, but there really wasn't a vision for what they would do differently. The Democratic Convention, the same way, there was no real vision for the future. It was, well, if we go with that guy, we're not going to like it. And so there was very little vision casting in either convention, which was kind of fascinating to me. And part of the reason I think for that is because if you really break down the direction that Governor Romney wants to take the country and the direction President Obama does, there are some differences in terms of how they want to deal with taxation, how they want to deal certainly with people who are in higher income brackets and taxation. But if we're talking about, for instance, foreign policy, tell me one thing Governor Romney will do differently than what President
Obama does. TSA or NSA or the police state or any of these things that really matter. It's like MapQuest plotting two different ways to go to the same destination. I mean, there's some changes in the route, but it goes the same place.
Absolutely, because ultimately their view, and even when we talk about, you know, you asked me about some of my own personal views. Look, I'm a journalist. I'm a constitutionalist. My personal view is that the Constitution, rule of law, is what our founders and framers designed. They knew that we should not be a democracy. People say all the time we're a democracy. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. We're not a democracy.
We're a republic.
We're a republic, absolutely. And the difference is vast. The republic is rule of law. Democracy is rule of mob. And so all you need is a plus one in a democracy in order to push through any crazy laws or rules.
And rob the other 49%. It's two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. But again, that's terrorist talk, according to the Homeland Security. Have you done a report yet on MIAC and Homeland Security reports saying veterans and gun owners are the terrorists?
You know what? Some people have been sending me some of that information, and we are looking at doing something on that.
All right, we're going to break.
It's like constitutionalists. If you believe in the Constitution, you're a terrorist.
Exactly. We're going to break. As usual, I've hogged the guests. We got loaded phone lines for you. But let me just add this here. DrudgeReport.com. It's also at InfoWars.com. Our story about the nuclear reactor also evacuated at the J.J. Pickle Center here in Austin, Texas. It's top red linked at the number one website in the world, DrudgeReport.com. You can go there, and I'm glad that our servers are still staying up, because that'll probably send us about 3 million readers. Or is the site still up, InfoWars.com? Top linked there, and they're now evacuating multiple campuses, not just the University of Texas, but up in North Dakota as well, over the someone's basically saying they're Al-Qaeda, saying all these bombs are about to go off. We've got reporters still downtown. Well, now they've gone for the reactors. They'll be popping in during the next hour a little bit when we cover QE3 or unlimited QE, what that means, and so much more. But straight ahead, final segment. Maybe I'll twist his arm for 5 more minutes into the next hour so we can take 6 or 7 calls with Ben Swan from Fox19.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, all there's right. Nothing to get excited about in that.
And they go on for 5 minutes to all agree we're run by global government, run by banks. Exactly what I said 17 years ago was going to happen, because I was reading the Trilateral Commission public documents. But the issue here is Bernanke said a year ago there'd be no QE3. Well, now it's just unlimited QE. And they wanted us to beg for it first, because if they don't do it, we're in trouble. But if they do, we're in trouble because they engineered this. Ben Swan, he's one of the anchors over there, an investigative reporter at Fox 19 in Cincinnati, now has a national, international following via YouTube and their site. We're taking phone calls. Got a lot of fans out there. We're going to take 5 phone calls for you for this short segment and the next, and you're gone. Let's talk to Brian in Colorado. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Big fan of yours, Mr. Swan, and you as well, Mr. Jones. I wanted to bring you up to pace on a few things that I found out. I live in Colorado, and it's very frightening to have the ATF state that they're going to take people's gun rights that smoke marijuana or use marijuana, because a lot of people in Colorado have guns and a lot of people in Colorado smoke marijuana. But the thing I really wanted to point out to you gentlemen is that through my research, I found that marijuana oil cures cancer.
And it's certainly been shown to be a treatment. Let me stop you. This is how crazy the news is. That broke after I was off air yesterday. We carried it on the nightly news. I read the ruling from 2 days ago. It's true. They're saying alcohol abuse, marijuana use, any drug, any substance abuse that they say, no judge, no jury, they're taking your guns. Ben Swan, what do you make of that?
I haven't heard it, so I really can't comment on it. I mean, I'd love to see it, though.
Guys,
link to that. That'd be great.
It's already in featured news archive. Just put it up on screen for folks that are watching and listening. Can find it at Infowars.com. I'll have it reposted to the front page. Let's go. Thank you, Brian. Let's go to Luke in South Korea. You're on the air with Mr. Swan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi there. How are you? I've seen from my own experience with mainstream media that certain stories the government want to have suppressed never make it to air. And in England, they have the DA system, Defence Advisory. They've still got the legacy of that in Australia, and they're trying to reenact it as a voluntary system.
Yeah, it's a D-notice, absolutely. And they're trying to get that here. What's your question for Mr. Swan?
Well, right, with the absence of a D-notice, how does the government get the issues they want suppressed in your
They have
opinion?
Talking points.
We know it's happening.
I know because I've talked to national. They have talked. Well, you saw 2 weeks ago where the New York Times is in contact with the CIA and killing stories for them. Ben, your take on that?
Well, absolutely. I think there are definitely talking points that go out. And I think within local media, the issue isn't so much talking points as it is groupthink. If you know, the sister parent station or if the networks aren't talking about it, then it must not be news. And so it's groupthink on the lower level, bigger level, it's talking points.
Exactly. At the top of the pyramid, talking points are given, White House meetings, you name it, book deals, all of it, because I've been offered it. And then all the little parrots think, oh, those are the stars. If I copy what they say, I'll rise up. When in truth, even if you were a cynical mercenary, being different is what will make you rise up in a stagnant system.
Right on.
All right. I hope that answers your question from South Korea. We're going to race back, and we're going to go to Angel, and then we're going to go to Eric, at least those, maybe some more, for Ben Swan, Fox 19 reporter. But like he said, now from that city, he's worldwide. That's why the dinosaur media is in so much trouble. That's why the info war is exploding.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Final segment with Edward R. Murrow, an Emmy award-winning researcher and journalist. He's the anchor there at Fox 19 in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he joins us for a final segment, Ben Swan. And we're going to take a few final calls for him in this short segment. Then the economic news. Pot smokers have their guns confiscated if this federal court ruling is implemented. The Justice Department says asset forfeiture. You know, in East Texas, some of the towns will pull an old lady over and rob her purse. Well, they catch you with marijuana, baby. They're taking everything you got. I'm talking one joint. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm glad that the caller reminded me. Angel in California, you're on the air with Ben Swan. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Angel.
Hi. Hey, I have a question for the guest and maybe for you, Alex. I've been microchipped and I don't know what, it's in the back of my head. I'm not sure.
That's a good prank call. We don't screen your calls. Very, very funny. I can tell you're not schizophrenic. I can hear you laughing. You think it's funny. But we got chips for people like you. Don't worry. Let's talk to Eric in Ohio, up in your neck of the woods, Ben. Eric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Long time listener, first time caller.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, my question, well, first a quick comment is I have a bachelor's in electrical engineering, a master's in business, and I used to be a certified nuclear medicine technologist, and I'm a veteran, and I live here in Springfield, Ohio, and I'm having a hard time finding a job. And I was wondering, Ben, based upon your research, is more of the Barbati economy based upon what Obama's done or what based upon what John Kasich has done? Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. You know, just real quick on Ohio, it's tough to say. I mean, certainly the president says because of the auto bailout that created a lot of jobs, 8 out of every 10 jobs in Ohio is connected somehow to the auto industry. So he definitely gets some credit for that. But then that big jobs board that the Governor Kasich put together obviously is helping as well. So it's probably a combination of the two. But even so, I mean, unemployment's still high. It's still at like 7.6%, but it's still lower than the national average. So for guys like you, I mean, it's not.
Look, here's the deal, sir. People that have advanced degrees in technology, you'd have to move to China. To get a job, you've got to move where they're having a growing economy. We've been deindustrialized by policy and undercut by Indian and Chinese workers. And nothing against them. That's just part of the engineering. That's why it's so hard for you to get a job, okay?
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. And I just want some more clarity.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. I think it was a good point that Ben made. Real fast, JR in Utah. Quick question. Only got a minute and a half left.
Yes, thanks for having me. First-time listener to your show. Ben Swan, I've been following you for a little bit now, and I have a question for you. Do you have any concerns about, you know, the message and the facts that you're delivering, you know, to everybody? I mean, pretty much everywhere, you know, how you're bringing the truth out. Do you have any concerns about them shutting down your show and trying to silence you in any way?
No, not really. I mean, right now, again, the support from people has been tremendous. As long as there's support, that's great. And, you know, we'll keep speaking the truth as long as they allow us to. But again, as long as the internet stays free, there's always a place to speak out. And that's the key to it is you got to keep the internet free, because as long as it is, it challenges that national narrative. Alternative media is what's...
There you go. And that's why they want cybersecurity. That's why old media is supporting web censorship, because they can't deal with the competition. Ben is a talented, smart guy. He could go anywhere, do a talk radio show, you name it, be successful. I could, because people want to hear the information. Absolutely hit the nail on the head. Well, I tell you, Ben, hearing you here freeform, not just on the news, I'm even more impressed, and we'll continue to follow everything you're doing over at Infowars.com and over at PrisonPlanet.tv, and I look forward to, from time to time, if you ever want to push something out national that you're not already pushing on your own show, or you want to supercharge something, give us a call, because I'd like to have you on every few months.
Sounds good. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend coming up. Be safe. All right, there goes Ben Swan. Wow, that guy's going places. If we have any freedom left. If the web stays open and free, that guy's going places. He's already gone somewhere, standing up for liberty. Very exciting. Love to see up-and-comers like that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
At the bottom of the hour, Ted's going to keep riding a shotgun with us, Ted Anderson. I'm Alex Jones, if you just joined us. Thank you for tuning in here. We love liberty. We love freedom. We hate tyranny. And we will wage war against it. We will not mince words. We will not play games. We are here to show people that they can have courage and stand up against evil. I'm like a bull in a china shop, and I'm coming against the New World Order with God's help. And I need your prayers and support. But that said, coming up, you heard 2 days ago there was a federal ruling saying that the ATF can start doing asset forfeiture seizure. And that means if they pull you over in your car and you've got your deer hunting rifle and they find a marijuana seed that they plant or that, you know, somebody left in there, you are going to lose your car, your firearm. If one marijuana seed is found in your house, they're going to take your house. Now, that's what they're starting to do with asset forfeiture seizure. You've seen even on CNN, Fox News, I'm ashamed to say my own state, the police are actually pretty good in Texas on average. I've been all over the country. But in some of the areas of East Texas, Louisiana's a great state, but it's very corrupt. It's kind of like little pieces of Louisiana in Texas. The cops pull over. It usually makes the news when it's some 80-year-old billionaire woman. I mean, that actually happened about a decade ago, and it's happened several times since with old rich women. They'll have like $3,000 in their purse, you know, depression era where they carry the cash around with them, don't trust credit cards. And the cops will just see them getting their license out and say, get out of the car. They take the cash. And, you know, it turns out the woman is, you know, part of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas and one of the richest women in Houston. And then she does something about it. But with everybody else, if you're driving while black or driving while Hispanic in East Texas, you can forget it. I mean, they're taking everything you got. And most of the towns aren't like that. It's certain little enclaves. Because I got family in East Texas. We got a ranch in East Texas. My dad's from East Texas. And, you know, all the middle class and nicer people aren't like that. But there are those little enclaves. I mean, I've been in East Texas swimming at the local city pool when I was a kid. And people come over and say, get out of here, you darn Yankee. But that's a side issue. The ATF is now saying that they are going to take all of your guns, without a judge, without a jury, asset forfeiture, admiralty. It's the law of war. It's part of martial law. In fact, that's one of the staples of martial law is asset forfeitures, admiralty, law of the sea. That's how the British would grab U.S. seamen off the ships. That's one big part of the war. And press them into 5 years of service. And folks, most people didn't live 5 years in service in the 1760s, 70s, 80s. In fact, two-thirds of people died after just two missions to the African slave coast, the Gold Coast, because of the malaria and all of it. But I'm digressing. Yes, you heard me right. It wasn't just half the slaves dying on the passage back. It was most of the sailors dying. Incredible history, but I'm digressing. We're now under admiralty, and a federal court ruled 2 days ago that the ATF could take your guns. Well, I finally read the ruling, and it is unbelievable. Guns of pot users to be confiscated. So I'm going to cover that coming up after we get into QE3, and I'm glad a caller mentioned it because there's so much news on my plate. And we're going to be getting to Ted Anderson here in just a moment. But guns of pot users to be confiscated. But it also, I read it, Suzanne Posel wrote this. I actually read the order yesterday afternoon, the ruling, and it actually says alcohol, anything. If you ever get on OxyContin like Rush Limbaugh because your back's hurt, they're going to take your guns. I mean, this is big. Remember Obama said, I'll get their guns. Don't worry, outside of law, we're going to go under the radar. Sarah Brady talked about that Obama's promised me he's going to get them. And here it is, and it's just incredible. And so I'm sitting there yesterday with a headline, and I'm thinking, well, this, you know, this deals with everything. How do we get people's attention? Well, we point out marijuana is what 80 million people smoke at least once a month, a statistics state. 40 million every day, probably higher than that, but... they say 80%+ of Americans have tried it at least once. I've smoked it. Smoked quite a bit of it. Never really liked it. But now they've got these more designer marijuana out there. The point is that this is a big deal. And so are they saying that they can just plant marijuana on me and take my guns? You know, the 68 Gun Control Act states, see, I said I'd cover this later. I'm already covering it. The 68 Gun Control Act says if you're a felon, and people said then, don't do it. Even Charlton Heston, who promoted the 68 Gun Control Act, later said he was wrong by the mid-90s. He said, I was wrong, because now they get you for felonies for anything, while they, the ruling elite, are exempt. So this is a big deal. They're talking about in here now implementing it, that if you get... a drunk driving charge and you agree to the counseling, that you don't know that when you're with the counselor admitting that you drink every day, they're going to call that substance abuse and take your guns. You think they're going to stop with the troops and the post-traumatic stress and just take the millions of veterans' guns? They're going to get everybody's guns by the time they're done. This is incredible. Listen, everybody wants marijuana legalized. I mean, it's in some states as high as 90%+. Understand, it's not as bad as alcohol. It's got a lot of health benefits. It's a lot better than Prozac, I know that, and Ritalin and all the rest of it. It helps a lot of people. Cancer patients, you name it. Stop raiding our houses. Stop setting up checkpoints. Stop filling the jails with people that smoke pot. Stop taking people's kids if they smoke pot. All right, now I'm ranting. I'm going to go to Ted. I apologize. I'll cover it before the show ends. I got Dan Bedondi's five-minute report on Do People Know About the Constitution? Do Americans Know Their Constitution? Well, that's coming up. But we're going to spend most of the hour with Ted Anderson, who's a very busy man. Ted is 30-plus years in the gold and silver industry. He's founded Midas. He worked for one of the biggest companies before that. He founded Midas, what, 15 years ago? Or is it 16 now? I was shopping around for gold sponsors. I had a couple of them, and people would immediately say, I didn't get my gold or it's overpriced. So I started researching gold, bought the Red Book, found Midas. They had a good name, went out and got them as a sponsor. Before Ted even had a radio network, he kind of got the idea because he's like, why don't I just put up a network? So I've been with Ted since before he started Genesis. And I bought gold a few other places, and there's a few that are okay out there. But consistently, if you want gold, bullion, silver, junk silver, you name it, or if you want collectibles, Ted doesn't even really promote that, but he's got a ton of it there at his vaults down the street at the bank. And he's got everything. And he's got it deliverable. If you call up with some weird coin, it might take him a few weeks to get it. But he's been busy while people foolishly, so have I, were, you know, when gold was 1630, selling it the last few months. People have been selling it back to Ted. And I've been buying some of it, and Ted's been buying it. So he's been busy with people selling it back to him. Now he can sell it to you, even though it's gone up 100 and something bucks in the last few weeks. When it went up almost 50 yesterday. How much is it in the last 2 weeks? 150, 160? I don't know. Well, ask Ted. But I didn't get him on about the pitch. I really want his. He's a big Ron Paul supporter, was a Ron Paul delegate. He's a big Liberty guy. I mean, that's why he got into all this. And he really knows what quantitative easing means, why this is such a big deal. We just got a great breakdown from Fox News reporter Ben Swan earlier. But Ted, I mean, we've been knowing this was coming so long. And we knew that if they did QE3, it would cause hyperinflation. But this type is just unlimited and open-ended. $80 billion, half of that, $40 billion a month, two private banks just giving them the money, buying crap made-up derivatives. Tell us what the other $40 billion's for and what you expect this to do. And then we're going to get Max Kaiser on. We're going to get Webster Tarpley on, who's an economist. We're going to get Gerald Celente this Sunday, next week. This is big, folks. They are dropping the hammer. I mean, this is like going to the doctor and they'll tell you you got, you know, stage 4 brain cancer or something. I mean, this is I mean, Ron Paul, get the clip ready. Ron Paul said, what's the exact quote? He said, in fact, just cue up the Ron Paul clip. He said basically this, you know, we should run for the hills. We should be completely freaking out. I forget the exact quote. Yeah, we're queuing that up right now. It's in our TriCaster. It's in our computer. We played it on the show today. We've already played it. Yeah, that's why we always want to default save stuff into our native computers, because we could lose it if we didn't. We don't have it. All right, let's go to Ted Anderson. Ted Anderson, good to have you here. Good to have you here with us. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off because I understand what's happening here, and I've had a bunch of coffee and pollen burst, but break down what this means.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, the article that you have right up on Infowars.com titled The Banker Bailout is a great explanation of what's going on. Joseph Watson wrote it. But, you know, basically what it is the Fed is trying to step in and stimulate the economy, bail out this is really a bailout for the banks that have these loans or these mortgages. They're trying to stop an economic collapse from happening. People are having a hard time paying their mortgages. There are a lot of foreclosures that are going on. There's way too much debt. We can't afford the debt at 0.25% interest. If they're not stepping in and doing quantitative easing, interest rates are going to go up. The natural market number is probably 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%. It's certainly not zero. And so the Fed is trying to step in, and now they're saying until the year 2015, however much money it takes, they're going to do quantitative easing. Right now, they're committed to doing $85 billion on a monthly basis, and they're going to do that infinitively. And that's why they don't call this QE3. It is QE3, but there's no destination as far as how much and what the end of this is going to be.
And they're just going to keep printing money. Great points. I have the Fed's report somewhere in my stack here. We're going to go over it. $85 million a month of your tax money. Stay with us. All right, Ted Anderson's with us for the balance of the hour. We do have Dan Madani's report coming up. And I'm ranting. I kind of get in a crazed mode here, sometimes by the third hour, because I'm looking around for the clip of Congressman Ron Paul, and I'm trying to find my Federal Reserve statement, which I have here, and I just get into a frothing mood. By the way, the TriCaster had crashed. That's why the crew couldn't play it. Computers are great, but they also have a lot of problems. Well, we do have that Ron Paul clip I was mentioning. This is Ron Paul on the news last night. This video clip is up at Infowars.com from the folks over at Zero Hedge. Here it is. The clip with Congressman Ron Paul that we're going to play.
Bernanke has not achieved that frustrates him, I can tell, is he gets no economic growth. He doesn't do anything with the unemployment numbers. And from my viewpoint, I think the country should have panicked over the fact of what the Fed is saying, that we've lost control, and the only thing we have left is massively creating new money out of thin air, which hasn't worked before, and it's not going to work this time.
So there you go. Ted Anderson, what do you make of that?
Well, Ron Paul's right. I mean, what they're doing is they're creating stimulus, but what are businesses going to do? I mean, right now they're going to gear up for inflation. They're certainly not going to hire more people. They have to like pull down the hatches and try to figure out how this is going to affect them. Their costs of their production are going to be going up. They don't know if they'll even be able to sell their product for a higher price. I mean, it throws the whole market into upside down and throws in turbulence is what it does. You know, and this is not a new argument, Alex. You were talking about how this is a planned event. This is how things came about. I can tell you, Thomas Jefferson was arguing with Hamilton when this country was formed as to whether or not we should have a central bank. Woodrow Wilson was pushing for the League of Nations. That's how we ended up with the Federal Reserve System. You had to read his resume. My God, what this guy gave us is just amazing. The Federal Reserve System, federal income taxes, I mean, the whole thing just goes on. And now we have the system. In order to have money, we have to go into debt. So we go into debt. The Fed creates more money by lending it to us. And now we owe interest on that debt, and it compounds and it gets bigger and bigger. And now we're at the end of the rope. We can no longer afford the interest because it's consuming 40-45% of GDP at a half a percent. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen? The Fed has to keep the interest rates down now, because if they let the interest rates rise, the United States nation will cease to exist. We will no longer be able to afford the debt. It's beyond control. And yes, indeed, the people that formed the Federal Reserve System and pushed for the League of Nations back in 1913 are now pushing for a world currency and to be able to control the entire planet with a printing press. The politicians love printing presses because they can be bought. They can buy votes with it. They can pass all their programs that they want to pass.
By the way, Ted, as you know, the Barroso and all of them are over there. Herman Van Rompuy, the heads of the EU, are bragging that they're taking over the once sovereign nations of Europe into a super state run by the banks. This is an economic takeover. And it's not even our debt, most of it. It's their derivatives they signed us on to. And I think that's the only silver lining here, is that there won't be as bad an inflation because they're not really putting it out into the economy. They're giving it to themselves. So it's only luxury items that are going to hyperinflate up front. But a lot of economists say that'll still trickle down.
Of course it's going to trickle down. I mean, my goodness, look at the corn prices. Look at beef prices. Look at, just a loaf of bread. Or what are we paying for gasoline? My goodness, a $10 an hour employee isn't going to be able to afford to fill his tank and come to work. I mean, this is causing economic chaos in the entire economic system of the United States. And what is it going to do to the retirees who have saved their lives and are living on a pension and get Social Security? I mean, it's just going to destroy them. All around, we're putting our children into debt, and we're robbing money from anybody that's saved and just destroying the economy.
And
in
then
the process.
Meanwhile, Ted, they're buying 1.4 million bullets and more. We have more news coming out on that today, we've discovered. They're getting giant black armored vehicles. They're preparing for civil unrest. They're digging in. They plan on fully imploding things, posing as saviors, getting rid of internet freedom, and making this country go dark.
Well, there you go. I mean, Jefferson said that a central bank is more dangerous to the people than a standing army, and now you're seeing why that's true.
He said if you allow them to control the issuance of currency and credit, your grandchildren will wake up homeless on the continent their forebears conquered.
And that's what's happening to us, Alex. It's just a sad shame. And that's why I've been saying, hey, get into gold and silver. Do something a little bit different than staying in this paper money, because that's how they manipulate us. You're tired of these foreigners controlling the United States. You got to do something about it.
Well, we've got to identify the enemy, and that's the globalist. And they run Al-Qaeda as well. That's now admitted. I want to come back and ask you where you think gold's going and more. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
So what's the Ron Paul quote? We should be panicking over what's happening. Yes. And it's because we've lost our ability to really get upset. You see, when I learned that eugenicists took the country over, who believe in a one-world government, to then put stuff in our food and water to sterilize us and basically kill us. And then I discovered they're testing on us right now. The massive increases in death and cancer is just the beta phase. And that their program's going forward, I start yelling and screaming. I'm not like this when I'm at home. But I get up here in front of you and I start making myself focus on this. I get upset. I'm like, please do something. It'd be like if I pulled up in front of your house. If I was driving home and I drove up, my neighbor's house had flames coming out of it, and then I ran over to see if they were okay, and the door was locked, and I looked through the window and saw the families laying in their beds with flames, I would knock the door down and go in and get people out. But if I knocked the door down and ran in and they said, shh, there's no fire, I'm like, what do you mean? It's coming through the door right there. There's smoke. Get up. Well, I would just then leave if they refused to get up. Unless they were children, then I'd drag them out. Because I'm not going to make somebody leave. They want to burn themselves up. But here's the problem. We're all in the house together, and one of us alone can't get the door open. We can't get out by ourselves. There's 7 billion people on this world, 310 million in this country. We were the wealthiest country the world had ever seen. The evil all came here to use us as an engine to build their world government. And then as soon as they're done with us, folks, they're going to get rid of us. That's the pattern in history. We have to then be brought down. And these globalists are in power because they are ruthless. And they believe through social Darwinism that they're doing us a favor doing this to us. They think you're weak and pathetic and deserve to be killed. I can't tell you how many executives, you know, in private discussions have said, well, Alex, you notice you tell people this stuff and they don't do anything. Maybe they deserve what's happening to them. Maybe you should try to join the power structure. And even those people that I've met who are making, you know, $5 million a year or whatever, they're not part of the real power structure. They're being attacked as well. These guys will sit there talking to you about this while they're drinking a Diet Coke. And we all do stuff that's unhealthy for us, but that is a E. coli feces genetically engineered to be addictive that will kill you. And I know I got Ted Holding and I'm ranting here. It's just that this is madness. This is madness. This is evil people that like to do murderous stuff, putting it into a framework cosmology of they're going to have the singularity and transcend and all this. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to destroy everything. Stop now. Stop now. Stop now. Stop now. Using Al-Qaeda against Libya and Syria, and now they're blowing up U.S. embassies. Burning things down, all this. I mean, undoubtedly, you've got this, you know, new bomb threats by Al-Qaeda. They're trying to get a big war going. You've got them announcing the unlimited QE, which is like going to the doctor and being told you got a big brain tumor. I mean, this is bad news, folks. Like, I'm definitely going to drill my deep water well, not just my basic well now. I'm definitely not just going to have some solar panels. I'm going to have to put in the whole thing now. I'm definitely going to get, you know, I mean, this is like, okay, wow, I really am right. You think I'm happy when all of this stuff happens that I'm right and people are going, oh my gosh, that maniac's right. You think I like that? No, I don't like that at all. It's not pleasing. Okay? It's like telling your child, don't stick your knife, your butter knife, in the electric socket. And then one day when you're out of the room, they get one and do it and get almost killed and their hair sticking up on end. And they're crying and got to go to the hospital. That didn't happen to me, but I've talked to parents it's happened to. You think the parent's happy driving to the hospital? I told you not to stick the knife in the light socket. Oh, I feel real good now. No, it's horrible. This is horrible. Horrible. They got FEMA camps set up. The Army manuals admit re-education camps. And folks, if you think shutting up and keeping your head down is the way to survive this, you got it backwards, okay? You got it backwards, bud. Backwards. My instincts to fight this are right, but I can intellectually study history and go, my instincts are right to fight this. Okay? History, common sense, breakdown. We've got to fight this and get people out of their trance, their learned helplessness, mass Stockholm syndrome, Overton window, a normalcy bias. Man, that's our problem. That's our problem. All right, I'm ranting, Ted, and I've got some special reports and things coming up. And I mean, obviously, we're capitalists. We've got to fund ourselves. We don't get taxpayer money, you know, like MSNBC and others do to a lot of people. So I'm obviously want to do a gold pitch here, but that's not why you're here today. In fact, you wanted to come on, not about that. Ted, you were trying to get into where gold's going, what you expect to happen. But from other countries that have gone this direction, Mexico, Zimbabwe, Germany. I mean, we know what inflation, hyperinflation looks like. Argentina 12 years ago. What do we, all run by the globalist, same playbook. Same. They call it the IMF riot. That got leaked when Joseph Stiglitz left the World Bank. That they actually destroy the economy so then people riot and then that destroys it even more. Then they bring in troops and bring in a permanent sense of martial law, which after 6 months of rioting in Argentina and other places, you actually want the troops. Even if you know it was all set up, you're still like, finally, the rioting's over. I mean, is that where this is going, Ted?
Well, I mean, to end the violence, I mean, who wants to be able to, you know, walk out with their children and know that you're not going to get attacked or that the streets are safe? But let me tell you something. There's no safety here. You give up your liberty, you will not achieve safety. You're going to be bound by the chains of this whole thing. You know, there's a couple things, Alex. The Board of Governors did press release yesterday. It's from September 13th. We will send that to you. We have it in PDF form. If you want to get a copy of it, study it for yourself to see what the Fed's up to today. I can tell you this. This is not over. People this summer were thinking that this was over, that we had a solution to our economic problems, and there's no reason for gold because now it went from $1,900 an ounce down to $1,550 an ounce. They're getting away from it. But now we're seeing the thing rear its ugly head, and the Fed has, you know, put on the accelerator, and that's why you see gold and silver just jumping, you know, $40, $50, $60 in one day, silver up $4.50. I mean, that is reality, and that's what we have to look forward to because the interest on debt is consuming us. The only way the Fed can keep the game going is by keeping the interest rates down. You know, they do not want to face up to the hard facts that we're going to have an economic crises on our hands, and we need to take that medicine. But the longer they try to stimulate, the more they manipulate the markets like they are, the more toxic and the more bitter the pill is going to become to swallow. We could have done this years ago. We'll have to do this in the future. We're going off the cliff. That's why Ron Paul's saying what he's saying. We need to change this, but at this point in time, the only thing that I can tell you to do is get out of their money. If they're wanting to print money to solve their problems like they are, you need to put yourself on a gold standard and a silver standard. Get away from their paper and get into something that's real.
And by the way, Ted, we started having you back on because there wasn't really any news in gold and silver. But privately, we were talking months ago. We said, yeah, once the fall starts, they're going to do the QE3. Who could have foreseen QE Unlimited? So that was the only curveball. They always give us a curveball. So I guess they kept their promise. No QE3, just Unlimited. It's like we won't we promise not to beat you. Now we're just going to kill you. So we told the truth. We're not going to beat you. We're gonna bash your brains out. But I had you on 2 weeks ago for the first time in months, and we talked about George Soros doubling his gold holdings in one day. Paulson, the head of PIMCO, all these big guys are rushing into gold right now. It's pretty obvious when they make those big moves where it's going.
Yeah, well, I mean, they actually did it ahead of time, too. So, yeah, they could see what's happening. Of course, I could, too. Back in June and July, there were so much economic problems. There's so much trouble going on. And I'm like, going, well, here we go. I get to buy gold at $1,550. I get to buy it at $1,600. I even think it's a great buy at $1,770, which is where it is now. Just because of the fact that I can see what's coming in the future. They have not solved our economic problems. Fundamentally, we're in worse shape than we were before they started the quantitative easing. And it's going to get worse. And that's the problem. And that's why you need to move into something hard and tangible like gold and silver. Like I say, if you get yourself out of the paper currency, you're getting yourself away from their game. And now, you know, obviously gold confiscation is an issue. That's the last thing that we had talked about. The 1933 $20 St. Gaudens is a reflection of what happened in 1933 with FDR when he closed the banks on a Monday and confiscated gold. He got into office, actually closed the banks on a Friday, confiscated gold on a Monday. This kind of stuff can happen again. I would suggest that you get away from their system as quickly as possible and quietly put away gold and silver. That's the main thing, whether if it's bullion coins or whether if you want something rare and collectible. The only thing I can suggest is that you stay as close to melt as possible. I don't think people should be getting into real high-priced rare coins. And that's one of the reasons when you said, hey, throw the Obama deception. We were out of the book, the Big Brother book, and I said, well, that's great. Let's put on let's get Joe Plummer's book, Dishonest Money. And you said, yeah, throw the Obama deception on there, and we still have the American Dream video. It's like the dream package of figuring out how this all gets put together.
Let's be clear. Silver has been up in the last week. It's two silver dollars for how much?
It's still, I'm holding it at 63. This will
okay,
be just
you can't get two
weekend.
Silver dollars anywhere for $63. No. And then you get the Obama deception that really exposes what Obama's up to, made 3.5 years ago and light years ahead of D'Souza's film. Show that to people. They want to understand what's really behind this. The American Dream film exposing the Federal Reserve, incredibly produced, and a free book. Two free films. And a book and silver dollars under what you can buy them anywhere. 800-686-2237. Ted wants to introduce you to this, but I will tell you, we're going to run out of the Obama deceptions and then have to reprint them. And so this offer won't be available for a while here very soon. Those are going to sell out very, very quickly the way they're going. 800-686-2237. You can also link through from Infowars.com. There on the right-hand side is a link to that. But, Ted, great. A lot of folks know that's a great deal. In fact, it's an insane deal. I mean, what is silver at an ounce right now?
Well, let me just give you the latest quote here. It is currently trading at $34.73. Two silver dollars right now would be $72.94. You still have to have it shipped to you. So you would have to add another $6.50 on top of that to get it out to you just first class without registered and insured mail. This is a good deal. Then you put those books and the videos and everything put together. I mean, really, you're paying about half price for silver.
And you're doing this just to introduce people, get them in the store. We're not communist here. But people should call and ask for the full spectrum radio list that is the lowest price coins. The stuff you have on the internet, very competitive. Your other deals, very competitive. The radio list is whatever you've got a smoking deal on because he bought it lower and he could still sell it to you at the low price, but he sold out of stuff he bought a month ago. He sold out of stuff he bought 2 weeks ago. Ted, what gold and silver are you selling now from what point in the market?
Well, I can tell you right now, you can pick up Canadian maple leaves right now at the moment at $1,935. The British sovereign right now is $485.24. The franc is $386.74. And of course, people are calling in and they're getting much better deals than that. The Walking Liberty half, for those of you who want silver, one of my favorites, $16.88. We have Lakota Nations at 43, just a whole long list. People that would prefer to have the older $20 gold pieces because they don't like the idea of the gold confiscation or the tens. They're at 21.46. $10 Liberties at 10.85. There's a lot of different things that you can be getting into. All I can say, as long as there's printing money, you know, the Fed's printing money, and I don't know why the politicians aren't going to push for that, because they don't want to see, you know, they don't want to lose their seats in
office. It's simple. We've grown with gold. I've been on air with you since gold was $260 an ounce, and that's why I was totally confident that it would go back up, because we know what they're doing. In fact, I'd be happy if they reversed all this. We were proven wrong, because we'd have a country. We're just trying to get people lifeboats here, and then your support, we're able to convert in a little bit of gold and silver for ourselves and pay for the radio network and everything we're doing. We're just completely up front with all that. It's a win-win-win-win all the way around. The Alex Jones radio specials are the best deals. That's an Alex Jones special we put together with the two silver dollars. You can see me right there. So, I mean, that's it. Silver at below spot, basically, with two free films and a free book. Totally insane deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Now, Ted, how long can you hold these specials? Are you going to have brokers there throughout the weekend?
Yeah, they'll be here throughout the weekend. And again, I will raise the prices on that silver on Sunday, because, I mean, this was priced at $26 an ounce. Come Monday, you will not be able to order it at this price. So that will have to go
up. So you're running out of the silver you bought at 26. That's how you can offer it at this.
Yeah, well, I've been out of it for a while here. I'm just losing money. I'm going to have to change my tact here a little bit, because Monday I'm going to have to raise prices. But the most important thing here is that people get those videos, get that book, read the stuff, pass them on to a friend, keep the silver dollars for yourself. These are the real silver dollars that were used back at the turn of the century, and going all the way back to when Thomas Jefferson was arguing with Hamilton as to whether we should have paper money or whether we should have gold and silver.
Well, that's right.
As money.
Folks can get numismatic coins, a lot of them, close to spot, and that really is the best. Where you're getting a collectible very close to spot, that personally is what I look for myself. And I've been, you know, researching in gold and things for about 16, 17 years. I mean, I knew more than most people before I was even on the air, but now I've kind of burrowed into it quite a bit, obviously. 800-686-2237. Give Midas Resources a call. There'll be brokers there all weekend. If you're listening to this tonight or tomorrow or Sunday, and Sunday evening, what, Sunday at midnight, Ted?
Yeah, Sunday at midnight. Monday morning, I will be having higher prices.
800-686-2237. Take advantage of this, folks. I only promote what I believe in. And, well, I told you buy gold at 260. And, I mean, was I right? Told you buy it at 1,000. Was I right? I told you went up to 2,000 that they drive it down, but it would go back up. Was I right? Yeah, we know what we're talking about. We're in a lot of trouble, and we're just saying, hey, we're financing our fight against the tyrants, shelling truth. It's real simple. And we are doing mid-air refueling right now. But I can tell you, a lot of these deals, Ted makes no money. So I'm just trying to support the network and his sponsorship. 800-686-2237. Thank you, Ted Anderson.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Alex.
Yeah, on the nightly news tonight, I should add, we're going to have Gerald Celente for a full hour talking about the massive QE3. And if you're not a viewer of PrisonPlanet.tv, if you don't pay to subscribe, we post it the next day on YouTube. Okay? And we let one membership be six memberships. If you can't pay a dollar a month for a membership, fine, it's free. We could do a lot more, though, if we had your support, like pay the crew even more. But that's a side issue. You support us, we support you. Tonight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv, Gerald Celente. Final segment with Dan Bedondi's report. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine.
You know, I like this old TV's greatest hits music, but if I've been seen with Farrah, that means I've been hanging out in graveyards. But I don't mean that as a mean joke. I mean, I think we might need to stop playing this song. Even though I'm the one that put it in rotation 15 years ago. Oh, yeah, I'm the one that programs the music around here. That's why it's so weird. Look, I'm here ranting and raving about all this. Just watch what happens, folks. I mean, we're in the grasp of a bunch of scum. And the biggest thing I can say is we need to stop thinking that they're trying to fix things. This is engineered to pick winners and transfer the money where they want to go. Just like Ben Swan, very impressed with him, what he said the last hour, just like what Ted just said, okay? Ron Paul wants to be nice and friendly. He's like, oh, they're trying to fix things, but it's going to screw things up. No. They're conquering Europe. They're conquering us. They brag about it. Let's go to Dan Bedondi's report, one of our great reporters. He also helps produce the radio show out there in Austin, Texas, where we come to you from, asking people if they understand the Constitution and Bill of Rights. In fact, the name of the report is Do Americans Know Their Constitution? Here it is.
All right, this is Dan Bedondi standing in the corner near the Capitol for Infowars.com. And what's your name, sir?
My name is Jason.
Quick question. Who won a Super Bowl last year?
I don't know. I'm out of that whole gridlock.
Y'all Giants?
Last year, I believe that the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wasn't it Bill Clinton? No. Obama.
Hey, could you tell me who the Vice President of the United States is?
No.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden?
You can't ask me questions. I blank.
Obama's vice president.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden?
Could you name three Simpsons characters?
Bart, Marge, and Lisa.
Bart, Marge, and Homer.
Bart, Lisa, and Marge.
Could you name the three branches of government?
Judicial, legislative, and
it begins with an E.
Executive. And I was like,
well, you're close. I mean, a lot of people can't answer those questions.
Legislative, judicial, and executive.
Could you recite two amendments to the Constitution?
Oh, man.
How about the First Amendment?
Freedom of speech.
Yep. How about the second?
Right to bear arms.
Good.
13th Amendment, I think, is the Women's Rights Amendment. I don't remember. But.
Well, yeah, it was a pocket constitution anyway.
Two of the Bill of Rights, I tell you, the first Bill of Rights is no other gods before me. And the second one is the sabbatical, which keeps Father God first.
Well, that's the Ten Commandments, which is great memorizing. That's probably most important. And but do you know the Constitutional Bill of Rights, the First Amendment?
No, sir, I do not.
Freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, freedom of the press.
And the freedom of speech and freedom of press, what amendment is that?
It's the second one, I believe.
First, yeah. And the right to bear arms is?
The
you said it, second.
Fifth, second, okay. Second.
We got the right to bear arms and the right to pay the government a lot of money every day. If you're gonna be dumb, then you gotta be tough. If you get knocked down, you gotta get
read your constitution before it's gone. Dan Bedondi for the InfoWars Nightly News. Amazing job, Dan Bedondi. All right. We'll see you on the nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock, PrisonPlanet.tv. And back this Sunday, live, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
Visit QE Unlimited.
Bend over.